Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We've got to tackle systemic racism, this horrible shooting again. How many times do we have to see this in our country? I mean, this is just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. And so, you know, maybe I can, by speaking directly to white people, say, look, this is not who we are. We've got to do everything possible to improve policing.
Oh, shut up.
Go right at.
Shut up. Just go away already. Crawl back into a hole. Now she's going to talk to white people about shooting black people, not about the dead cops lying in graves around America. Again, attacking white people. This rich white criminal attacking white people. Well, I'm not going to get excited. What do you expect from a politician whose eyes are crossed? Her mind is crossed, so what do you expect? She's unfocused. That's all. I read this morning, by the way, that the old Bush, that's Bush 1, is voting for Hillary. Yep, GW is George Bush, the first one, is voting for Hillary. In fact, so many Republicans are voting for Hillary now, I wouldn't be surprised to read tomorrow morning that secretly Pence is going to vote for Hillary. I mean, we know that losers like Cruz, Kasich, Jeb, Lindsey Graham, and the other secret globalists are going to vote for Hillary, but Bush voting for Hillary? Anyway, this morning I almost broke the television again. Good thing I have a bulletproof television set. I watched the liar-in-chief in front of the UN, and of course I didn't like the speech, would expect to hear something else. But what I noticed about him was an extension of his psychopathic behavior to a new level. I've known he's a psychopath, and there are definitions of a psychopath. He meets every definition of psychopathology. And I'm talking about Hillary Clinton's predecessor, your current president, Barack Obama. And you say, well, why waste your time? He's going to be out of office soon, because his policies are going to be continued by the cross-eyed. The cross-eyed woman wants to continue his policies. A day after the chicken bomber, a day after the Muslim chicken bomber, she's talking about tolerance. A day after the chicken bomber, with a Muslim who was welcomed here with open arms. Open arms. We welcome this whole family with open arms. The most tolerant nation on earth filled with morons. Bowing down to these third worlders. Bowing down like they're better than us. Bowing down that they're sacred. Bowing down as though they're the good ones and we're the bad ones. 15 years we bow down to these sacred third worlders. And bombs go off. Stabbings occur. Day after that, Obama gives a speech to the UN this morning that achieved a new level of insanity. It was not just what he said. I mean, it was like any other college professor, let's say at NYU. Any kid listening to me who had to go through college in the last 10 years has heard the same kind of crap from college teachers for the last 15 years. America bad, third world good, income inequality, white privilege. Meanwhile, he's the most privileged man on earth, and he's not white, is he? How could he be the most privileged man on earth and say that there's white privilege? I don't get that part of it. How can he raise money like he does and say that the political system in America has too much money in the system? Okay, so the hypocrisy was overwhelming. That's not the part that struck me in watching the madman speak at the UN today. It was his demeanor and his lecturing tone. It was as though he was lecturing everyone in that audience, every nation on earth, as he knew better than all of them. He knew what they must do, and only he knew how to save the world. He went on and on with this madness, until eventually I had to turn it off and off. I couldn't take another minute of it. And collected by the Great Gravian News Service is the fact that 11 times the madman talked down the United States in his final United Nations address. He highlighted how America was a failure 11 times before these third world sterling individuals, you know, people like those from Congo who eat people for breakfast, told them that we're not as good as those in the Congo who eat people for breakfast. He said, in America, there's too much money in politics. Well, let's see. How much did he raise this year for his fellow Democrats? He says there's too much entrenched partisanship. This is why he attacks everyone who opposes him. Anyway, I don't want to read all of this to you. It sounds like a bad college lecture. And I think you ought to hear the 11 separate opportunities where your president, the madman, talked down this nation this morning at the UN.
Yes, in America, there is too much money in politics. Too much entrenched partisanship. Too little participation by citizens. In part because of a patchwork of laws that makes it harder to vote. That while we've made our share of mistakes over these last 25 years, and I've acknowledged some, we have strived, sometimes at great sacrifice, to align better our actions with our ideals. And we can only realize the promise of this institution's founding to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations, like my own, accept constraints. Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms. I've noticed as president that at times both America's adversaries and some of our allies believe that all problems were either caused by Washington or could be solved by Washington. And perhaps too many in Washington believe that as well. So just as I've pursued these measures here at home, so has the United States worked with many nations to curb the excesses of capitalism. Not to punish wealth,
oh boy,
but to prevent repeated crises that can destroy it.
All right, you got the picture.
A society of oligarchs than ordinary citizens will rot from within.
You know,
and advanced economies like my own unions have been undermined.
Turn it off. Just as vice departments and police departments no longer exist. I mean, when you know, years ago there was a homicide detective, a vice detective. Today all vices have become normalized, so there's no vice detectives anymore. They look for drunk drivers now. I don't know what they look for. Pornography is legal. Prostitution is fundamentally legal. Marijuana is legal. So what's illegal? There's no vice anymore. So just as there's no vice, there's no sedition. They've eliminated laws of sedition. Obama's committed sedition so many times that people have forgotten what it is. But who cares? That's all. Chicken bomber means nothing. The bombs go off. Again, the lies come out. De Blasio, the fool, comes out and says that we need more Muslims, not less. That's all. Then we read today that the chicken man's father said he turned him in, then he said he didn't turn him in, then he said he turned him in 14. He thought he was a terrorist. Then he disavowed that he was a terrorist. He thought he was a terrorist because of the way he treated chickens. He didn't like the way he put the wings in the box. He thought the thigh should go first, and because of that he called up the anti-terrorism task force, and when they came he said, I was wrong. It wasn't my son putting the wings on top of the legs. It was the legs on top of the wings that made me think he was a terrorist, but have nothing to do with terrorism. I thought he stabbed his brother, but he didn't really stab his brother. His brother accidentally got poked by a chicken wing, and I'm sorry for calling the terrorism task force. Please go away so I can pray to Allah. And there's no Islamist links in this house. Now, just because the wife left along with him and the mother 2 days before doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the fact that he was a chicken seller. He hated gays, but that's not bad because our religion hates gays. He hated America, but that's not bad because we all hate America. The wife left the USA days before the event, but she knew nothing about it. She was going away there to study Afghan ways. She wanted to learn how to make scarves. She was studying how to become a milliner in Afghanistan. There's no relationship whatsoever between Islam and this terrorist attack that occurred. He's simply a lone wolf with a pressure cooker that went off. And let me tell you something else. Those pressure cookers had nothing to do with terrorism. He was on the way to New York to explain to other people how best to make chicken the Afghan way. That is what it was. And this is an example, a further example of racism, according to what I've seen. And please leave me alone now. I have to go back and put the chicken in the fryer. That's what we got. That's the best we can do. Once again, Jay Johnson failed us. Once again, the FBI failed us. Once again, everyone failed us except local police. Once again, the burden fell upon the local police, who apparently are less constrained by the political insanity that Obama has imposed upon DHS and FBI. Once again, it was local police who took the bullets. Once again, the FBI was nowhere to be found. Once again, the DHS was nowhere to be found. That's all. And that's the opening to the show so far. We got more for you. We got the terrorist father speaking out. Did any of you hear the Donald Trump interview? It was like no one heard it. You know, Donald Trump was on this show live yesterday in one of the most amazing television, one of the most amazing media appearances of his entire campaign. It was a news story. Listen to me carefully. You know that I'm the most revered talk show host to my audience. That's a given. That's why you listen. But you also know I'm the most reviled to everyone else in the media. And you know why. Yesterday, Donald Trump did something he's never done before, so far as I know. Correct me if I am mistaken. He came on the show an hour earlier than he was supposed to. We got a call 1 minute before the show. He was on his way into the auditorium to speak to, what, 35,000 people, Robert, or more than that? He spoke to me on his cell phone as he walked into that arena like a gladiator in that long corridor that boxers walk down, that entertainers walk down, that statesmen walk down. He was on the phone live with this audience on the Savage Nation. And a few seconds after, he said, Robert, do you have the end of that thing, the short piece where he says, I respect you because you're honest, true, and straight? Could you please play that? That was the most amazing thing he ever said, but that's not the point of this. If you find it, it's okay. I ask for things at the last minute. It's hard on the poor guy on the board. It's not easy to find. If you have it, play it, because a lot of people missed the show yesterday. I don't know where they were, but they weren't here. Robert, are you hearing me? Just say you hear me, but you're looking.
I did this call because you've been my friend. You've been so honest and straight and fair, and I appreciate it, and I always will.
Honest and straight and fair. Well, now you know why I'm hated in San Francisco, because they're dishonest, not straight, and unfair. But the fact of the matter is, that's why I'm hated on Fox News, because I'm too honest, too straight, and too fair for Blondie and her gang of screechers over there. But that's not the reason I'm mentioning this, because seconds after he said that, listen to me, seconds after he said that, he went out to the audience live. Have you ever heard of an interview like this before? How dynamic that was. I did. It's very, very unique. The phone number here, if you need it, is 855-47282. It's going to be a potpourri day. A potpourri, a sachet, mixture of flowers, mixture of scents, mixture of feelings, 2 days after the Muslim chicken bomber, 2 days after the slasher in Minneapolis, buried by the news. They didn't show you that. The Somali, you know, the African Somali Muslim who stabbed people. You think he just cut them like with a nail file? You know, they're hiding the pictures from you. You know what the Somali did to people? He carved them up like a bird. He cut them open like a bird. And he was only stopped by a cop who was also a man who taught tactical pistol training. And you know the rest of the story? Those of you who think we don't need guns? The Somali Muslim who was stabbing randomly in the mall, asking people if they were Muslim, and about Allah, again, they left it out of the Daily News and the New York Post. And you know the reasons why, don't you? He was carving people up. And finally he came to the stone wall of a white man with a gun who was trained to use it. And guess what the tactical officer did? As the Somali Muslim lunged at him with the knife, as shown on footage, this was not a black-on-white crime, as Hillary would have you believe, as this throwback third-world maniac lunged at the cop to stab him, he didn't know he was a cop, he was off duty, the cop instinctually pulled his gun and shot him, but that didn't stop the Muslim from Somalia. He came at him anyway, and he had to shoot him again two more times to finally kill the animal. The animal had to be put down with three shots. Three shots the Somali Muslim took before he went down. For those idiots amongst the audience who think that you can stop people by talking to them when they're out to get you. I've seen training films of a man with a knife, and I was warned in these training films when I was going for my CCW. I was shown pictures of a Filipino knife fighter, and we were told that if they get within 20 feet of you, you're dead if they have a knife. They'll cut you to ribbons. And this tactical officer had the wherewithal to shoot this animal dead. Do you understand what I am saying to you? Many of you are terrified of guns. You're terrified of your own shadow. You don't know what to do, and you think by just repeating the garbage you learned at NYU, you're going to stop them. They've been at war for 1,400 years. It has nothing to do with our politics. It has nothing to do with our philosophy. It has nothing to do with Israel. It's their religion, stupid.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Friends, listen to me. The chicken bomber, the Muslim chicken bomber, stopped by local police, not by the FBI, not by DHS. It's astounding to me how incompetent the federal agencies have become under the crazy man in the White House. But the New Jersey chicken bomber's notebook was found, and in it it says, attack the kuffar in their backyard. Attack the kuffar, that's you. You're the, to Hillary, you're a deplorable. To the Muslim radical, you're a kuffar. Kufar, they always have a derogatory term for you. But you're supposed to kiss their feet? You're supposed to lick their fingers and praise them? All right, I can only go so far. Attack the kufar in his backyard. You hear this? How many of them are like that in this country? Do you think that this subhuman was alone? How many other subhumans are there like this walking around in this country waiting to cut you or shoot you or bomb you? Well, the FBI itself a few months ago said that there's over 1,000 that are on their watch list. Yesterday I was very clear. Common sense would dictate that Mr. Sarkozy, who is running again to be the Premier of France, has said that if they elect him, he's going to be tough on Muslim terrorists, and he is going to preventively detain Muslim terrorists who are on watch lists before they bomb, kill, stab, murder, rape. He's going to put them into detention camps. What is wrong with that idea? You're afraid of Marvin from the NYU? You're afraid of Marvin the lawyer? The drugged-up lawyers from Columbia and NYU and Harvard? You're going to let them dictate your safety? How much longer can we take of these stupid people with law degrees? What the hell makes you think someone with a law degree is smarter than you? They're just tricksters. They know how to entangle you. Entangle you in the web of laws that they write themselves. Entangle you. Spin you around their little web as they run home to take their Prozac or their medication for manic depression. They're psychotic, these people. I am saying what he said in France is right. Detention camps now. Detention camps now. For those on watch lists, detain them now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Everyone who has survival instincts recognizes that radical Islam is at war with the entire world. If you look at conflicts around the globe, almost invariably, it's Muslims who cannot get along with their neighbors. I don't care where it is. India, it's over Kashmir. They always have a complaint. The Hindus did this, therefore we have to kill them. Wherever you look, it's Islam at war with their neighbor. Can't get along with the neighbor. Now, you look around in this country, and you see that since this half-Muslim president of ours, and I say that not to go into the birther thing. His first father was a Muslim from Kenya. The second father was a Muslim from Indonesia. So by definition, and since he went to a madrasas in Indonesia, don't erase that, please. Please don't take an erase and put that out. He's very proud of that. He went to an Islamic religious school in Indonesia as a boy when he was in his formative years. Since then, he's flooded America with Muslims to transform us into another kind of nation, eliminating and erasing our Christian roots. He doesn't like the Christian side of himself, apparently. That's what I see. Now, let's talk Turkey. Let's get down to the bombs going off in New York, the knifer in Minneapolis the other day. That hasn't been forgotten yet. It's been forgotten by Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer. They never saw that. It never came across their eyeglasses. They have a special filter, you see, that Bausch & Lomb makes for people in the media where they can't see any crimes committed by Islamics, you see. That's what Wolfie gets from Bausch & Lomb, a special Islamic filter. Jake Tapper, special Islamic filter in his eyeglasses. They can see no evil and hear no evil, and they don't hear it or see it when it comes from Islamic. They can only see it when it comes from a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes, you see. So let me ask you a question. We're told by the FBI not a few months ago that there are over 1,000 people that they're tracking. Well, here was another one, Chicken Man. The New Jersey Chicken Man was on their radar. They did nothing. So he set off the pressure cooker bomb, and he set off the bomb in New Jersey, the Marine race. I want to ask you a rational question, no hyperbole. If you know that there are rabid dogs running around in the streets, what do you do with rabid dogs? Well, you try to get them into the kennel, either for treatment or euthanasia, before they bite you or your daughter. You don't want a rabid dog to bite you, your wife, or your daughter, do you? You want rabid dogs to bite you? We now have over 1,000 rabid dogs running around in this nation. At least 1,000 that have been known to have rabies. The rabies of hatred. The rabies of anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-Western mania. And these rabid dogs are roaming freely in the streets when the FBI knows who they are. So I'm asking you a simple and rational question. Why can't these rabid dogs be rounded up and put into a detention camp for the safety of the American people? The answer is because liberalism is a mental disorder. The same thing could be heard today from the maddest man in the world. He looks sane. He dresses sane. He doesn't foam at the side of his mouth. Speaks nicely. Doesn't yell often, except when he gets in front of certain audiences. Then he starts to yell and scream, as he did the other day when he had his people down there. But the man is as crazy as a two-penny watch, as they used to say in England. He's as crazy as a two-penny watch, the way he lectured the world today, literally pointing his finger at every leader and every representative of every country on earth as though he knew better than them. He knew better than everybody, this maniac, this egomaniac. I couldn't watch it anymore. But wait, I'm going to show you how illogical he actually is. In one of his statements, the madman, who you call President Obama, said something that is medically and scientifically untrue. And he said, for example, the mosquito thing. He knocked the people in the country for being too rich and too this and too that. He said mosquitoes don't respect walls, which on the face of it makes sense if you went to NYU and you've been medicated since you're 2 years old. That makes sense. Yeah, he's right. But he's wrong. Listen to clip number 3.
We can't combat a disease like Zika that recognizes no borders. Mosquitoes don't respect walls. Unless we make permanent the same urgency that we brought to bear against Ebola.
All right, turn off the maniac. Turn off the loop. First of all, he stole my title. So that's number one, where he said, my title last winter was Diseases Without Borders. I like that. Thank you. Your speechwriter ripped it off. Terrific. So he said, we can't combat a disease like Zika that recognizes no borders. Mosquitoes don't respect walls. Well, they do respect walls. That's number one. A mosquito can't go through a wall, the last I checked. But let's put that aside. When this disease was first noted some time back, there was a locus of infection, and it was in Honduras. That was the locus of infection. I went on this radio show because I'm trained in epidemiology. My PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978 was a multidisciplinary degree. One of the areas that I was a student of was epidemiology. You don't have to be a genius to read Epidemiology 101. And one of the first rules of Epidemiology 101 for the most novice of students is you find the source of infection and you cap it. You try to keep it there. So I noted on this show, if we know Zika has a locus of infection that's primarily in Honduras, it wasn't even in this country yet. What did I tell you should be done on this show? I said, cut off all travel to and from Honduras. What else did I say? That's all I had to say. You don't let tourists go there and come back, and you don't let immigrants come here. What did Obama do? What did the two criminals that work for him do? The criminal who runs the CDC, the criminal who runs the NIH. They committed crimes against their own profession. They didn't get up and warn Americans that the president was wrong or the president was mad, that by bringing in hundreds of thousands of women from Honduras with infants, he was going to infect the nation. They committed a crime against the American people. And now we have Zika spreading across this nation of ours because we have an insane man running the country. And I said to you before, I'll say it again, you don't have to scream to be insane. You don't have to foam at the mouth to be insane. You don't have to hold up a knife to be insane. You can sound perfectly normal and look perfectly fine in a suit and be as crazy as a two-penny watch. This man is a crazy man. Did you hear what I said? We could have stopped the Zika epidemic, but Obama spread it. We could have stopped the Zika epidemic, but the man who runs the CDC allowed it to spread. We could have stopped the Zika epidemic, but the man who runs the NIH let it spread. They are like Lysenko, the crazy, lying geneticist who worked for Joseph Stalin, who put out false science in order to push his boss's crazy theories. That's what's going on with this globalism. All of what I just said to you is 100% true. There's not even a question as to the truth of what I just said. It's irrefutable logic. It's irrefutable medically. It's irrefutable scientifically. It's 100% true. Every word I just said to you is found in my best-selling book, Scorched Earth, Restoring the Country After Obama. The man has spread a disease in this country through his insane political beliefs. Do you understand me? Now I'm going to go to some callers. John on WMAL, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
I just wanted to comment on the significance of Donald Trump's phone call to you the other day, and specifically the timing. I was a Secret Service agent for 23 years and had spent a lot of time close proximity to all manner of politicians. Just prior to them going out is a time of intense preparation and time of concentration, getting briefed. They're worried about every single word they say. And for Donald Trump to make that call at that particular time is especially significant.
It is significant. I mean, what does it tell us, that he doesn't read a teleprompter, or is that what does it say to you as a Secret Service agent?
Well, it says to me, number one, how important it was to get that call into you. It tells me how confident he is in his own message. But I think more importantly, it was how important that call is, because that time just prior to going out in front of 20, 30,000 people, when every word is going to be watched and scrutinized, is extremely important for him to go live with.
Did you actually hear his appearance on this show yesterday?
Absolutely. Twice.
Now, did you notice what he said at the end? I didn't ask him to do it. I didn't prompt him to say it. Robert, please play it again. It's very important. I just want everyone to hear this again, because I didn't know where this came from. And I want John to tell us something about it from his point of view as a Secret Service agent. Please play it, Robert.
I did this call because you've been my friend. You've been so honest and straight and fair, and I appreciate it, and I always will.
I thought that was remarkable. And, I mean, what was he saying to you, John, as a candidate?
It means that more than most politicians, he really values what you are out there doing, and he knows that, and he doesn't forget that. And that's why I wanted to say, because that time before you go out before 20,000 people, nobody can get near these politicians. They're rehearsing, they're getting briefed, they're worried about every single word, and to go live with you just before he walked out, it was remarkable to me. I have never seen anyone do that.
It was seconds later, according to a very highly placed individual in the media who was listening to the show and then watching his appearance. He said almost a second or two after he hung up with you on your show, he went out in front of that crowd who was screaming and cheering. He said, I couldn't believe it. I've never seen anything like it. To me, this speaks to a few things. It speaks to the fact that he's extremely loyal to those people who he considers to be his supporters and his friends. And as I said to him, Donald, I know you don't forget your friends, and I hope you don't forget your enemies. I don't know if you heard that, but I really hope he never forgets the people who stabbed him in the back when he wins, and I hope he does win. John, I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth. Again, we're talking about a number of things on the show, including Mr. Trump's appearance on this program yesterday. It was a little noticed speech, but one of the most significant events or aspects of that appearance was what we just talked about, what we just spoke about, which was seconds after he hung up with this audience and with me, he was on the stage. I never heard anything like this. I don't think it ever happened. I don't know if it happened before. It could have, it could have not. Eileen on WABC in New York, I thank you for calling. Go ahead, please. Line one, you're on the air from New York City.
Hi. My house is a graveyard of signage just taking down Hillary Clinton. And I recently put up a huge copy of the front of your book, A Scorched Earth, because I truly believe that we do not get the right information to make a really good decision about voting for people and who we...
Wait. You blew the cover up and put it on your door?
Yeah, it's like 4 feet by 5 feet. It covers my whole front door. And a bus.
I assume you don't live in the West Village of Manhattan.
I do not. I live on Long Island. Jerry Barmash has been to my house before. And above it, I put, please read, Help Save America.
Wait, is this in a suburban location, like a suburban house?
It is.
So not that many people pass by, do they?
You should come sit on my front porch. My husband and I walk out and sit on our front porch within 5 minutes. I have cars stopping, getting out. We have full-on town halls on my front lawn. I have vets come and cry. Thank you so much for being so brave. It's not one sign, Mr. Savage. There's about 15, and they're all about 4 feet by 5 feet big.
And you haven't been visited by Obama's goon squads, the FBI or the Secret Service?
I can honestly say that I have been visited by the Secret Service, not because of the signs on my house, because one of my daughter's friends decided to put something up on social media that I had said that was not good.
You got to be careful. Big sister is listening. Big sis is everywhere.
Yeah.
Be very careful, Eileen, because Big Sis can hear everything that you say. In fact, Big Sis, in a few years, according to what I'm seeing, Google will find a way to think about what you're thinking. They'll be able to find out what you're thinking. The two maniacs who run Google will soon be penetrating your thoughts, and you'll be arrested for thought crimes if Big Sis has her way. Thank you for doing that. What else do we want to talk about here? The Bush thing. That's a big story. That Senior Bush, it's been revealed, said he's going to vote for Clinton. That's pretty amazing, but it didn't surprise me, because I've told you for 15 years, it's a one-party system. It's a three-card Monty with no P underneath the shells. There's nothing there. How many years have I told you, long before you heard the word globalism, that we basically have an oligarchy? I was the first one to explain it. I will take credit for it. It's in one of my earlier books. And I explained what an oligarchy is before it became commonplace. Okay, big deal. I didn't invent the word. But I also told you that it's a one-party system playing two-card Monty. I called them Republicrats in 02. I called them Democans in 02. So Bush saying he's going to vote for Hillary doesn't surprise me. First of all, they're long-term friends. The Clintons and the Bushes are fundamentally the oligarchs that run the country. I'll be back in a moment to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, here's another story to make you feel that you have a great, great say over your government. George Soros, the money changer, the nation killer, is going to invest $500 million for, quote, refugees. But if you look into the $500 million he's going to spend, gotten by trading against currencies, breaking nations over his knee, the money is going to be spent not so much in the refugees, but on social impact initiatives. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is the same wonderful, wonderful man, George Soros, the emigre from Austria who claims he fled Nazis in World War II only to come here and try and destroy America like a boll weevil from within. This fine man who escaped the Nazis is now using a reverse form of fascism, that is, capitalism, to destroy the very nation that gave him this home. So social impact initiatives, what does that mean, Georgie? Well, you gave $70 million of your money to Black Lives Matter. Really, that's a social impact initiative. And he's going to benefit migrants and host communities, said the 86-year-old George Soros. What does he mean by that? I'll let you figure out what he means by that. Where are all these refugees coming from, and why are they now pouring across Europe and America? Why? Where'd they come from? This refugee crisis was caused on purpose by George Soros. He funded it. As far as I can tell, Hillary Clinton owns it. She created the Arab Spring. She offed Gaddafi, who warned that Libya would descend into chaos. We now have Africans pouring through Libya into Italy. and from Italy into Europe, all because of Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring policies. It's all connected to refugees and terrorism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
A world in which 1% of humanity controls as much wealth as the other 99% will never be stable.
Let's stop right there. Now, here is a man who associates only with the richest people on earth. Here is a man who flies around in an unimaginable manner, a way you could never imagine. A king of yesteryear would never dream of having his power and wealth. Here is a man who associates at dinners with people who pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit with him, and he's talking again through both sides of his mouth at the UN, again, against the 1% of humanity. Does that mean Goldman Sachs? Does that mean Google? Does that mean the guy who runs Facebook, his good friend Mark Zuckerberg? What is he talking about? All right, so big deal, he's a hypocrite. Is anything new under the sun? No. What's new under the sun is that Obama's speech today before the UN showed a level of psychopathic behavior I've never seen in a world leader. They all think that they're better than everyone, and they are. That's how they become a leader, by having massive, massive, massive insecurities, which they cover up through overcompensation. They drive themselves to these levels of control of others. We understand all of that. It's well known in the psychiatric literature. But I've never seen a president in his swan song before the UN standing there and literally lecturing the entire world on how it could be a better place if only his policies were enacted, when he himself doesn't practice any of the policies himself. A complete hypocrite, yes. Seen before over and over again in politicians. But the megalomania of the speech was overwhelming. The dishonesty, the level of dishonesty was at a level I've never seen before in front of that fetid body of human trash at the UN. Don't get me started on the UN, because I'm long on record for saying the UN should be evacuated, fumigated, and turned into a homeless shelter. All of the so-called diplomats should be forced to go back to their nations and earn an honest living, instead of cavorting with drug dealers and prostitutes in New York City. Now, I realize that drug dealing and prostitution is a good part of the New York underground economy, and then those at the UN are contributing in some manner to the wealth of the 0.1% in the prostitution trades and in the drug trades. But nevertheless, I mean, de Blasio should say, if I'm going to practice what I preach, we're going to evacuate the UN buildings. We are going to fumigate the UN buildings and turn them into a homeless shelter, because we believe the 1% should not control, etc. Chicken shop terrorist, mom and wife left the U.S. for the Middle East days before the attacks. That would be your Muslim friend. Your Muslim chicken shop terrorist mother and wife left the U.S. for the Middle East days before the attacks. The father says that he told the FBI 2 years ago to say his son was a terrorist after he stabbed his brother and hit his stepmom. But the FBI, of course, did nothing. The FBI was on the lookout for white men returning from the war zone who might be anti-Obama. And that's why we're facing terrorism, is because all the federal agencies have been, let us say, declawed when it comes to Muslim terrorism here in the United States of America, let alone abroad. Mohammed Senior told reporters 2 years ago, I called the FBI. And then the FBI gave him a clean bill of health and let him go back to plucking chicken feathers in the back of the chicken stand. Do we have the father, the chicken man's father, Robert? It's hard to hear. But here is the bomber's father saying, let's listen to it.
2 years ago, I called the FBI. My son is doing very bad, okay? But they checked it.
It's crosstalk.
All I can say is this. I wouldn't buy chicken from this father's chicken stand. I guarantee you they're not kosher. I guarantee they're not even halal. not only are the birds not kosher, they're probably not even halal. And he probably buys them from shady guys who sell bad chickens that fall off the back of chicken trucks. And the reason I say that with some degree of certainty is because I had a friend when I was a kid in Queens whose father, I can't say the name of the business, sold his product to stores, our grocery stores in the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, like, you know, less than reputable grocery stores. They would buy his product. And I said, well, what kind of, he doesn't sell to like A&P or any of the big stores. He says, no, he sells to these shady little grocery stores around New York that sell chickens that are damaged. What do you mean by that? I never knew there was a damaged chicken. He said chickens that fall off the back of the truck that they can't sell to a regular store, they sell to these little grocery stores. I said, oh, so they still existed today, probably. Anyway, look, that's not relevant. But there's the chicken man's father. The family is enjoying America. We welcomed him in with open arms. Came here, made a good life for himself, and the son set off two bombs and tried to shoot two cops dead. That's the reward we got for tolerance and inclusion. So you say, well, not many of them do that. All right, long as you're not the one on the other side of the knife or the bomb. De Blasio, the most corrupt mayor in the history of New York since, Boss Tweed, gets away with it because he buys off the minorities with various and sundry social programs. That's how they all do it. This is how all of the progressives stay in power. By sending out money to all of these communities, they keep them off their back and they lecture you about peacefulness and inclusion and this and tolerance. And so now the New York City mayor, according to reports I have read, the most corrupt mayor since Boss Tweed, a pay-for-play guy, gave a speech saying Islamic terror is vanishingly rare. This is a day after the bombing. De Blasio and the Muslim mayor of London and the other fool who was the mayor of Paris wrote an op-ed in which they said terrorism committed by refugees is vanishingly rare. And what does that mean? Militant violence is vanishingly rare, the trio wrote in the New York Times on the heels of three separate attacks in the United States. This is after the bombs in New York, the bombs in New Jersey at the Marine event. After the police arrested the Muslim Ahmed Khan Rahmani in New Jersey on Monday, after Ahmed Khan Rahmani tried to shoot two cops. You should know that Rahmani, the chicken boy, is not a refugee. Rahmani is not a refugee. He's a naturalized citizen. Isn't that wonderful to see what garbage is coming in from the third world? He moved with his family to the U.S. from Afghanistan. And as a result, apparently, he hated America, hates America, walked around hating America, hated kufars, whatever a kufar is. I don't know what a kufar is, but apparently to his religion, a kufar is anyone who's not a Muslim. And so you kufars, he said in the latest report in his notebook, The Chicken Man, his notebook said, attack the kufar in their backyard. And it also said, bombs will be heard in the streets, gunshots to your police. That's all. And he praised the Islamic State. The mayor of New York said there's no connection to terrorism initially. Didn't know what it was. So, my friends, all I can say to you is we have insane people ruling the United States and ruling our cities. Because at least 100 citizens of convicted who have been convicted of terrorism-related charges, convicted now, became naturalized citizens after entering through one of America's immigration programs. At least 24 of the convicts were refugees. 17 were the U.S.-born children of immigrants. 33 came on visas and remained after they expired. Now, you see, guys like de Blasio know that they'll never be touched by terrorism. They're surrounded by armed bodyguards. A man like Obama, who lives behind a bomb-proof car, a bomb-proof house, a bomb-proof life, knows that terrorism will never touch him, thank God. But you and I, of course, don't matter. You and I are the kufars who will be touched by the knife and by the bomb and by the bullet. But we are the expendables. We are the deplorables. We are the unwashed masses for whom the bell tolls all too frequently. We are the masses the globalists hate. We are the masses who hated the policies and hate the policies they're trying to impose on us. We are the masses who are afflicted and affected by the jihadis that they're bringing in by the hundreds of thousands. And so I don't have anything else to add that you don't already know. But there is a genocide being conducted by these immigrants from these fundamentalist Muslim backgrounds. It is a slow genocide at this point, but it will grow unless they are curtailed. And I have a solution to the problem. It's a common sense solution, which I gave in the last hour, and I don't know why people think it's so controversial. If you have identified rabid dogs running wild in the streets, this is not to say all dogs are rabid. This is not to say even all dogs of a certain breed are rabid. But let's say you know that certain dogs of a certain breed are rabid, and over 1,000 of them have been identified as rabid by your esteemed Federal Bureau of Investigation. Why does it not make sense to preventively detain the rabid dogs and put them in a humane detention camp where they are treated for their rabies, their rabid insanity? And if they cannot be treated for their insanity, throw them out of the country, send them back to the hellholes that they came from, I don't care how many years ago. Just get rid of them. Throw them out before they bite someone and give them rabies. Now, you say it's illegal, it's unconstitutional. Well, it may be, but the laws are written by whom? Written by insane lawyers. Insane lawyers who practically, for example, probably teach at NYU School of Law, or the wonderful, esteemed Berkeley Bolt School of Law, or even Stanford or Harvard. I mean, they're geniuses. It doesn't matter that they themselves are crazy. It doesn't matter that they themselves have insane lives or that they're on medication. All that matters is they write these important papers. And they, too, don't understand that what they're writing is their own death warrant. And so laws are written, laws are unwritten. Laws are made to be unmade. And we need to change the law about preventative detention, just as the great progressive president, a mentor of Barry Obama, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, changed the Constitution. He changed the law, and he preventively detained Japanese citizens, U.S. citizens, mind you, during World War II. Now, why did FDR do that? Was he a racist? I doubt it. He preventively detained the Japanese Americans in America because we were at war with Japan. And he knew through the FBI at that time that some, not all, in fact, probably a vanishingly small number of Japanese, were in fact sympathetic to Imperial Japan, and this vanishingly small number of Japanese citizens were liable to commit some kind of terror act in America or aid and abet the enemy who we were fighting. And so, because of this vanishingly small number of Japanese, he locked them all up till the war was over. And so that was very controversial. He also seized property of Italians and of Germans during World War II. Did you know any of that? I was surprised when I started in radio here in San Francisco originally to learn that Joe DiMaggio's father's little fishing boat, a crabber, was seized by the federal government under FDR because they were afraid that he might be using it to contact Japanese through submarines or whatever. They took away his fishing boat. I don't know if you know any. I even knew the boat when I came. I looked at it. It was still here. There's a lot of them like that on Fisherman's Wharf. The old little Monterey crab boats. People don't know that that it was seized from Joe DiMaggio's father. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, of course Islamic terror is vanishingly rare. But that doesn't mean that you don't lock up those who are practicing jihad or want to practice jihad in advance of them practicing it, Mayor de Blasio and Mr. Obama. I would argue that, in fact, preventative detention makes good sense, just as you would round up dogs that you know have rabies to prevent them from spreading rabies if they bite someone. You lock up those with terror rabies before they stab, before they shoot, before they bomb. And I would say this is going to happen whether you agree with it now or not. It doesn't matter whether you think I'm a bad guy or a good guy, whether you think I'm crazy or extremist. It doesn't matter what you think right now. It's only a matter of time until these genocidal Muslim maniacs commit a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger event. Now it's a little chicken man with a pressure cooker or two. Tomorrow will be a dirty bomb. And when that happens, God forbid, no government on earth is going to constrain the people for what must be done to defend themselves. Because when it comes down to it, everyone has a survival instinct. And we don't care how many rotten, stinking people in Washington tell us that we should die for their political beliefs. That's my speech on locking up the rabid mad dogs, no matter how vanishingly rare they may be.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Got the cockeyed Hillary. Eyes unfocused, neurological damage, no question about it. It's sad to watch. In some ways, it's very sad to watch. I mean, I'm a compassionate human being. You see a cockeyed woman with eyes not focused, one to the end, and then the two. She wants to be the leader of the free world. A power-mad lunatic. Anyone else would have stepped aside if she wasn't as will-driven through an insane abuse of power her whole life to believe that this woman should be president is astonishing to me. At the same time, Muslims are stabbing, bombing around the world in America. Obama wants to bring more in. Not one word saying, well, maybe we'll put the brakes on Muslims. Not one word from Hillary about putting the brakes on Muslims. More, and more unvetted. More. WFTL, Debbie, from Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 30 seconds or less, please.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, Dr. Savage, for standing up for us the way you do. I enjoy you very much. I am terrified for my family. I was brought up, I'm an American, I was born here, of course, I'm an Armenian. My great-grandparents were part of a genocide, and it was the Muslims against the Christians. They were marched out, they were killed.
Right. I've seen pictures of the Armenian genocide. Eyes gouged out, children bayoneted. I've seen the pictures. I had a family friend whose father was actually a doctor who was over there and took pictures and documented what the Ottoman Turks did to the Christians in Armenia. What does that have to do with America, though?
It's going to happen here. My grandparents came here from there to get away from them. My grandparents came here to escape the rest of their families.
The only way that could happen here is if the insane left is not stopped. If the insane left is not stopped, if Hillary wins and she opens the floodgates to more jihadis, I don't care how vanishingly rare they may be amongst the wonderful, peace-loving Muslims, if they open the floodgates to more of them, at their birth rate, this could happen in your lifetime. If Donald Trump is elected, it will be over. It will not happen. Scorched earth goes out to you, lady.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I did this call because you've been my friend. You've been so honest and straight and fair, and I appreciate it, and I always will.
Oh, boy. What a crowd. What a crowd. And outside, we have many more people than this outside. It's incredible. Really incredible. Thank you very much. And it's great to be back.
Listening to is a piece of news that was made yesterday that was reported only on this program. Donald Trump called a show on a cell phone. He gave us an 8-minute interview. It was pretty interesting unto itself. But seconds after he hung up his cell phone, he addressed that crowd. We had a Secret Service agent call the show and say it's unheard of for a major candidate in these moments before a major speech to speak to anyone by telephone because he's got to stay focused. It's an amazing story. You were part of it. You were part of presidential history. And if he wins, you'll understand why, how important that really was. And he's a man of his word. He's true to his word. He didn't have to do this interview. I felt he owed it to me. His handlers maybe didn't, but when he was told that I was waiting to hear from him, and you, the listeners, who are very important to him, are waiting, he took that moment before the event to speak with you. And if you missed the speech yesterday, I'm going to play a little bit of it, if I can, in this half hour. I don't know how to do it. There's no time left. I have so many great callers that I want to get to about my book, Scorched Earth, about other things, about preventative detention. Detention camps for the rabid mad dogs who are on watch lists. I know many of you are confused and you say, doesn't that violate our fundamental liberties? That's because you've been brainwashed to think that there is liberty for murderers, that there's liberty for rabid dogs. No, there's no liberty for them. You don't have 100% right to say anything you want in the First Amendment. You can't say go out and kill somebody. I wouldn't do that. The First Amendment has limitations in it. Freedom of religion should have limitations in them. Why should a religion teach that it's okay to cut the kuffar's throat? What kind of religion is that? What sane nation on earth permits millions of people to come in with a holy book that preaches killing everybody, cutting their throat? Then it happens, you say, well, okay, they're a small number. We should look the other way. It's a vanishingly small number of them. Okay, well, do you want to be on the other side of the knife, the bullet, or the bomb, even though it's a vanishingly small number? If the FBI says they have over 1,000 people on a watch list, tell me why it should be illegal to round them up and put them into a detention camp before they can bite you and give you rabies, so to speak. Sarkozy of France is calling for it. FDR did it in World War II. Why shouldn't we do it here? I realize I'm ahead of my time with this, and I realize it's offensive to most wonderful liberals who don't believe in such things, until they themselves are unfortunately the victim of a bomb, a bullet, or a knife. Then they might think differently. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the liberals who speak about the wonders of the criminals on death row and that they're innocent victims and racism and this mumbo-jumbo. You know, it only takes one event for them suddenly to become awake to their own rhetoric and the effects of their rhetoric, the effects of the laws that they themselves wrote. So it's not so strange when you think about preventive detention. It certainly isn't going to happen under this president. It might happen under Trump. It would never happen under Hillary. It's that simple. In fact, I want to do a whole show on what will happen if Hillary becomes president. From a personal point of view, I will no longer be on the radio. It won't happen the first day, week, or month. But within a short period of time, all of her opposition will be eliminated electronically. I don't think they're going to round us up. I don't think they're going to shoot us. I don't think we're going to die suspicious deaths. She will eliminate freedom of speech in this country by saying that it's a threat to the public order. She will impose laws of the type that they have in Germany or in Canada right now, and she will eliminate talk radio as we know it. That's all that will happen. Books? Oh, you'll be able to write books as long as they're approved by a government censor. And, of course, that doesn't even have to be done. All I have to do is speak to the publishers and tell them which books cannot be published, and that'll be the end of freedom of the press. That's what will happen. But it doesn't bother me. If that happens, it happens. I'm a flexible guy. I will become a religious figure if that happens. And I will just simply preach religion. I will have freedom of religion to say anything I wish. After all, if radical preachers can preach anything they want, then I will be able to preach anything I want as a preacher. And I'm all ready for that one. So if they ban me as a political talk show host, I'm ready. I'll become a religious talk show host. I'll just read the Bible and interpret it for you. I'll read the Bible and tell you what happened in the olden days and what's happening in the new days. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen as a religious talk show host. So it doesn't matter to me. I'm flexible. You see, the reason is the truth can be told in many different ways. There's not only one way to deliver the truth. There are many different ways to deliver the truth. And so I'm not afraid of what the Mad Queen might do. I hope you aren't either. Don't live in fear. Live in hope. Now let's take some callers. WMAL, David, line 4, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Go ahead, make your point, 30 seconds or less.
I'm sorry. So I was calling because I was reading my book. I just got the new book, The Scorched Earth. I haven't started reading it yet, but I love it. So I just love it, the idea already. But I was reading Countdown to Mecca before that, and my book was sitting on the table in my lunchroom at work. And I was actually brought into the
Austin. Okay, he had one of my books, my novel, Countdown to Mecca, and he was called into work by the fascists who run the Human Resources Department because it was considered offensive to some of his co-workers. This is what I mean by bringing in throwbacks from the Third World who have no tradition whatsoever of freedom, and they're now imposing their views, their perverted, distorted, retrograde third world views upon us, trying to us to conform to the garbage that they left behind in their hellholes. I put it very in a flowery manner several years ago. I was roundly criticized for it when I said, And I'm quoting myself now, we have gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot in one generation. I think that that is more or less more true today than it was when I said it back in the 90s. That we have gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot. I think that says it all. And right now, those who are coming in from the garbage world that they left behind are not saying, thank God I'm here. They're trying to impose the garbage that they left behind upon us. That's all. 855-407-282. Let's go back to some of the sound that we collected for you. The guys worked very hard today. 11 times your president talked down the United States in his final UN address. He said 1% of humanity controls as much wealth as the other 99%. You ought to tell that to Mark Zuckerberg, the Google boys, Bill Gates, George Soros, instead of lecturing us. He lied when he said mosquitoes don't respect walls, when he himself spread the Zika epidemic by not controlling it from the beginning. And then he talked about satirizing the Prophet Muhammad, how that's not a good thing. He gave another speech on that. And I don't know if I even want to listen to that. He compared racism in the United States to racism in Burma. He himself, you know, has been affected by racism his whole life. Oh, it's terrible how he suffered. In fact, Obama suffers terribly from the scars of racism that he experienced as a youth. Terrible thing. Listen to clip 7 of the psychopath Barack Obama before the UN today.
And what is true in the Middle East is true for all of us. Surely religious traditions can be honored and upheld while teaching young people science and math rather than intolerance. Surely we can sustain our unique traditions while giving women their full and rightful role in the politics and economics of a nation. Surely we can rally our nations to solidarity.
Right on.
While recognizing equal treatment for all communities, whether it's a religious minority in Myanmar or an ethnic minority in Burundi, or a racial minority right here in the United States.
Sick man, a very sick man, an evil hater of America, especially of a certain ethnicity. He has a sickness, an evil sickness. He's so divided inside, it's frightening. Okay, I mean, you get the picture. The man is mentally ill, which is why they love him in half the population. You're all crazy. 855-407-282 is the phone number. We're talking about Obama's speech. We're talking about the Muslim chicken bomber. The Muslim stabber in Minneapolis has been dropped by those who wear special Bausch & Lomb lenses that can see no evil or hear no evil coming from the Islamic world. That would be the Wolf Blitzers and the Jake Tappers and the medicated individuals who run NBC, ABC, and CBS. They're all medicated. They're all sick people. Hollywood, all of Hollywood gets the special Bausch & Lomb lenses where they can neither see no evil or hear no evil coming from certain quarters of the individuals in the population. Special lenses from Bausch & Lomb that blind them to realities that everyone else has to live with. I see that the New York Post is covering the important news. I see that they lead not on the chicken bomber at the New York Post, nor about the stabbing in Minneapolis by the Somali Muslim, but the boys of Murdoch a lead with Angelina dumped Brad after a private eye uncovered Marion Cotillard affair. Then later on, you could see something about the Chelsea bomb suspect grilling up kebabs in Pakistan. You can search and see other crimes. Man pleads guilty to an ISIS plot to behead conservative blogger. Another wonderful immigrant, another one of Obama's wonderful third worlders. Another, who one is this one? A Rhode Island man charged with conspiring to help the Islamic State group has decided to plead guilty to charges he plotted with others to kill conservative blogger Pamela Geller. The Warwick man plotted with two Massachusetts men to behead Geller. Again, this is a wonderful, wonderful story that's buried inside the New York Post underneath Angelina Jolie's whatever. Cop's lawyer says slain black man ignored officer's orders. The officer was a chicken woman. She shot the poor unarmed black guy for no reason whatsoever. The chicken woman never should have been a cop. Never in a million years. She panicked and she shot him because she was afraid of him. He has his hands up, he's facing the car and looks at her. And his left hand goes through the car window and that's when the chicken cop fired a shot and killed him. She should be given the as far as I'm concerned, life in prison without parole. That's all. What do you think? I'm going to take the decided police every time they kill someone? This is not a racial thing. A lot of people become cops or shouldn't be cops. Police video shows Crutcher walking toward his SUV. His hands are up and a female officer is following him. As Crutcher approaches the driver's side of the SUV, three male officers walk up and Crutcher appears to lower his hands and place them on a vehicle, as he was told. The officers surround him. Crutcher can be seen dropping to the ground. Someone on the police radio says, "I think he may have just been tasered." One of the officers near Crutcher backs up slightly. Then almost immediately someone can be heard yelling, "Shots fired." Poor guy's head then drops, leaving him dead in the street. "Shots fired, shots fired. We have one suspect down." Well, my friends, here's another example of a chicken woman who never should have been hired for police force. Another example of affirmative action at work. Plain and simple, this cop committed murder. This is homicide. First-degree murder. She deserves the death penalty, as far as I'm concerned. When you are an officer of the law and you are given the power of life and death over people, you are held to a higher standard than the average citizen with a gun. And you're supposed to be able to make those split decisions. I don't care how many cockamamie hats you wear or badges or sheriff's badges. She killed this guy because she was a chicken and got scared. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It doesn't amaze me. It happens every time. When you can predict what I'm going to say about radical Islam, you like me. But when I see a black man, in this case, shot by a white woman officer, and it looks like homicide to me on her part, you get mad at me. But you have to understand something. I am an independent outside observer and commentator. I call him as I see him. You don't have to agree with everything I say, but don't expect me to be on the same side of every issue just because that's politically correct. You want me to be political? All cops are right in every shooting case. Every shooting, every cop is a hero. It's not true. In every walk of life, there are heroic cops. I've talked about the cop in Minneapolis who shot the Somali Muslim, didn't I? Didn't I give him great, great, great honor, from my point of view, for whatever it matters, for whatever it's worth? In every walk of life, there are great people, ordinary people, and poor people, and then bad apples. Why must you assume that she was right because she wore a uniform? Can't you assume that occasionally you're going to get a rotten apple or a weak one or a sick one who jumped the gun? She got scared and shot the guy, period. She panicked and shot the guy, period. That's how I would see it. Now, we'll have to wait and see all the tapes, but what I've watched, and I just watched those tapes. I'm sorry, homicide, first degree. Here's a little more news for you. Muslim chicken farmer's chicken man's wife questioned in the Middle East. You know, she fled with the mom. The mom, the welfare mom. The wife of New York and New Jersey bombing suspect, Ahmad Rahmani. I love the medical treatment they gave him. He got better medical treatment than the victims got. Got right into the ward, the best ward in New York. Better treatment than anybody. How are you, Mr. Rahmani? How do you feel today, Mr. Rahmani? Okay. Questioned by American investigators in the UAE today, as the wife sought to return from Pakistan to the U.S. This just came out in ABC News. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Islamization, said Asia Bibi Rahmani, what a name that is, Asia Bibi Rahmani, voluntarily submitted to an interview. She had left the U.S. for Pakistan in June, and by virtue of the actions of her chicken husband, she has now been flagged for possible terror ties. Asia Rahmani's travel comes after Ahmad Rahmani's, the chicken man's mother, Najiba, left the U.S. on August 24 for Turkey. See, there's a chicken and turkey connection that you got to look into. A chicken stand and turkey connection. So mom and wifey left the country before the bombing. That's interesting. That's a source of continued interest to investigators. The geniuses can't figure out why they left the country. They didn't know the chicken man was going to do this. The geniuses who are investigating this, the FBI, DHS, are trying to determine whether the bombing suspect acted alone or had help. Oh, my God. Of keen interest is the period of time Ahmad Rahmani spent overseas. Come on. Come on, you got a thousand of these rabid mad dogs running around in the country laughing at us, ready to cut the Kufar's throat. Stop already with your political book. Open up your eyes to what you're doing to this country with your stupid liberalism. Right or wrong? Back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I don't understand why LPs are selling again. It was used, $25 I paid. This record album smells of mold. I had to put it outside the house. My mother warned me, don't buy used books, don't buy used records. There's more. I thought she was nuts, the mold in there. She's right. Welcome to the show. Just think it out loud. I've covered the heavy-duty stuff already, and I know many of you are angry at me. Because I didn't take the side of the officer who executed the black man in Tulsa. Now, he was unarmed. You know what crime he committed? The black guy was killed. He committed a crime. His car broke down on the side of the road. And that's a crime in Tulsa. I mean, if you're black and your car breaks down, you're immediately a criminal. And so four of the finest of Tulsa's police department approach him. He complies. And the female officer shoots him dead. She panicked and shot him dead. Murder in the first. He's a nice guy. I mean, this is sickening. Could be you tomorrow. Forget the racial issue here. You've got a lot of trigger-happy, untrained people becoming police. They can't get police in many communities. I'm sorry to tell you. And they got, in some cases, phenomenal heroes. And I have told you that. The officer in Minneapolis who had the wherewithal to pull his gun and execute the knifer, the Somali Muslim in the mall before he killed someone else. I said he's a hero. I don't know that I would have the presence of mind to do it. I even questioned myself. You know, it takes tactical training to respond that quickly and that accurately. Don't think because you're John Wayne with the gun. I know so many guys with guns walk around thinking that John Wayne, if I was there, I would have concealed and carried. I would have shot him in the restaurant. They, you know, whatever. I don't have it. It's a family show. I can't say what would happen. You'd look like Fredo in The Godfather with the gun on the floor. It would fall out of your hand. I know guys who own guns are all, you know, John Wayne at home. But it's a big, big difference between being skilled and trained and accurate in a time of crisis. And none of us know what it will be like. Now, cops are supposed to be trained to be controlled and accurate and make split decisions. Sometimes they make the wrong decision. She made the wrong decision. Or she panicked and shot the guy for no reason. First of all, he was not a criminal. Let's start with the crime he committed. None. Let's start with the crime in Tulsa. There was no crime. His car broke down on the side of the road. Is that a crime? I don't understand how anyone could take her side in this. Now, it is true, and I'm getting emails from people in the police world saying they were not trained properly. They're not trained very well. They never should have let the man go back to his car at any point. And by doing that, then they panicked. I'm looking at the video. It's not easy to watch. An attorney for a white Oklahoma police officer who fatally shot an unarmed black man said the man ignored officer's commands, kept touching his pocket, and was reaching through a window of his SUV when he was killed. 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher walks away from the officers towards his SUV with his hands up, and then approaching the side of his vehicle before an officer shocks him with a stun gun, and then he shot at the same time. So one of the male officers, rightly, maybe even that was not right, all right, he didn't know what he was reaching for, so he stuns him. Same time, the woman cop kills him. Sorry, open and shut case. Crutcher had no weapon on him or in his SUV when he was shot. It's not clear from the footage what led Betty Shelby, the officer who fired the fatal shot, to draw her gun. What did she draw the gun for? What was that about? What was he reaching for his pocket? Maybe he was reaching for a license. Maybe the other cop said, show me your license. He was reaching for a wallet, and she shot him. He has his hands up, facing the car, And bingo, finished. Now, I'd love to take the side of police in every case, and I'd rather talk about First American Fried Chicken again. The First American Fried Chicken story is a bigger story. And my controversial statement of detention camps is attracting a lot of attention. People are asking me good questions about it. 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. Dumpster bomb rocks Chelsea, injuring 29. Mayor looks the other way. President looks the other way. Everyone looks the other way already. Has nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with Kufars, nothing to do with Muslims. Nothing. Ready to move on to the next story. Angela Jolie and the boyfriend ran away from her for some other broad, a woman, whatever. That's the world that we live in. Controlled by the press. They shape your mind. You already forgot the bombing in Chelsea. You never saw the stabbing in Minneapolis. The Somali Muslim didn't just slice. He butchered. They're not showing you the pictures of what he did to the people before the cop killed him. If you saw the pictures, you'd be stunned to see what's going on in this country. All right? KSFO, Mark, go ahead. What's your question or comment?
Yes. I'd like to know what the litmus test would be to put someone into one of these detention centers. Wouldn't it be better if we had, like, Ellis Island-style camps throughout the United States so we can house the future immigrants so we have time to vent them? Rather than just letting them through the door.
Well, you raised two very important points. Of course we should have ports of entry during which they are screened for diseases and for diseased minds. But Obama has said no to all of that. He has created an unchecked flow of migrants, immigrants, asylees, unlike any in American history. In fact, you saw the story of them granting citizenship to 800 people who were crime. I think they were on terror watch list. They made 800 of them were made instant citizens. Did you see that story?
No, I missed that one.
800 people who were on watch lists were made into citizens by Obama, who's making it so that there's no way to control how many Muslims are coming in, for that matter, how many immigrants are coming in. He wants open borders. So, yeah, you're right, and we'll only get those detention centers, as my grandfather went through Ellis Island. Anyone who saw the movie The Godfather saw little Vito Corleone put into detainment. Because he had tuberculosis. Remember that famous scene in The Godfather? There was a reason for detaining immigrants. If you had a disease, they put you, either sent you home, or they put you in quarantine. Now, quarantine was eliminated during the AIDS epidemic because the radical gay community absolutely forbid anyone to ever say the word quarantine. It was eliminated from all medical protocol. That's the absolute truth of the matter. I lived through it, and I saw it happening. You cannot quarantine anyone for any reason whatsoever, which is now reaching a point of insanity. So I'm actually calling for political quarantine, is what you're asking about in the other regard. And you're asking a question I can't give a glib answer to. You're asking what would the litmus test be for locking up Islamics in preventative detention. I call those people who are on the watch list the equivalent of rabid dogs who you know have rabies. You wouldn't let rabid dogs run around the street, would you? You'd detain the dogs before they bite someone. I did not say round up all dogs or round up all breeds of it, all members of a certain breed. I said only the members of the breed who are known to have rabies. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, start with the ones who are on the watch list. Why are they on the FBI's watch list to begin with? Traveling back and forth to a Krapistan. Communicating with known terrorists, doing stuff that they know is likely to lead to a bomb or something like that, communicating, having literature that says kill the infidel or cut the kuffar's throat. I think that would be a starting point, but the rest has to be ironed out by a legal team. Mark, I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth, because this issue of preventative detention is the most important one I brought up, and I touch on it in Scorched Earth, as a matter of fact. Now, rightly, many of you are terrified at this idea. Many of you are libertarians and are afraid that if you give the government, you can finish the words coming right out of my mouth, the power to detain people preventatively, we've lost what? What amendment is that? Raise your hand if you know which one that is. Isn't that four? Isn't that the Fourth Amendment, probable cause? I think if you're a lawyer, you know what it is. Yeah, well, the lawyers have used probable cause excuses to get drug dealers off thousands of times in this country. The most notorious case I know of is that of coke dealers up in the Bronx. I think they were Dominicans. The cops pulled him over because they said that the trunk was ajar, and they saw something in the back. Okay, the cops pull the Dominicans over. They open the trunk. They find like 500 pounds of coke. It goes before a cockamamie psychotic drug addict lawyer or judge in New York, one of those like a Marvin type. You know the type. The Marvins who believe in civil liberties. One of the Marvins threw the case out saying the cops had no probable cause to pull over the Dominicans. So the cops said, wait a minute. We found 400 pounds of cocaine. The judge says, it doesn't matter. You had no right to pull them over. Next case. Now you understand what I'm talking about when I say insanity and lawyers who are crazy. This is a case of insanity. Same thing with the radical Muslims amongst us. It doesn't matter to these psychos with the big glasses. Imagine the kind of guy I'm talking about. A book-learning moron who was brilliant in law school is a moron. A psychic who now runs the courts. They put a black robe on him. He still doesn't know what's going on around him, but he cites the law. The law, the law, the law. Bombs are going off under his feet. People are getting stabbed. Killed the Kufar, and he's worried about the law. The law. Didn't bother FDR when he locked up all the Japanese. It didn't stop FDR from preventatively detaining the entire Japanese-American community, let alone those on a watch list. There was no watch list. Every Japanese-American was on the watch list to FDR. So now all I'm saying is lock up those on a watch list, and that's already too much for the civil libertarians. So you see, if you let them cripple you, we're all going to get hurt one way or the other. We've already been hurt. They are actually winning the war of terror. I've said this for years. Every time I go on an airplane, I know they're winning the war of terror when I am treated like a criminal. Every time I see a poor person in a wheelchair being frisked by one of the goons in the TSA, I realize the Muslims are beating us in this country. Every time I see a bomb go off and the next day, the next second, they tell us they don't know if it's connected to terror, has nothing to do with Islam. Islam's not part of ISIS. Even though it says Islamic State, they don't mean it. They don't know it. They don't know anything about it. Don't believe them. Believe me. It has nothing to do with ISIS. I said, wait a minute. It's not called crisis. It's not called BISIS. It's not called ISIS. It's not the Hindu state. It's not the Buddhist state. It's not the Jewish state. They call themselves the Islamic State. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that. They don't even know what it means. They have no idea what Islam is. We know better than them. Trust us, they've hijacked the world great religion. Although in the religion book itself, it says kill the infidel 37 times and cut the kufar, wherever you find it. It doesn't mean anything. It has no meaning. It has no, they don't believe it. They don't, it's not in there. Wonderful. They all work. They have chicken stands. They drive limousines. Don't worry about it. They're nice. They're, I mean, come on. When are you going to wake up? What has to happen for you to understand that there are limitations on the First Amendment, which all of us follow? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. So why should there not be a limitation on the First Amendment when it comes to religious freedom? I've said this over and over again. It's nothing. How many times do I have to say the same thing? What do you mean? Anyone could say anything under the guise of a religion in this stupid country? So in other words, if a madman wants to create a religion, the first religion of child molestation, and put out a book on it, what, are you going to let him practice that religion? You say, no, that's obvious. I'm using reducto ad absurdum as an argument to make a point with you. Reducto ad absurdum. Of course, nobody would create such a religion. But there are religious books believed by millions of people who say, kill anyone who's not like you. And we're bringing them into the country. Idiot. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to say that you can't practice those tenets of your religion in my country. In fact, if you're going to have that book in your religious institution, your house of worship, it's not going to be legal anymore. We're going to expunge such hatred from your book. Did you hear what I just said? Now, I know this, again, super controversial. I understand the bigger picture because I have in my hand an Old Testament. And you'll see my Old Testament in January when I have the TV running here in the studio. It's got hundreds of post-its in it. I'm one of the people who actually reads it, makes notes, whatever, and doesn't make me better than you. I'm just saying I do. Now, in it, there's a chapter in the Old Testament called Leviticus, the Jewish Bible. Jewish Bible has some pretty wild stuff in it. It says kill a lot of people in there. I don't have to read it to you. I don't like it in there. Because according to Leviticus, most of us should be killed. Everyone listening to you, you eat a shrimp, you could have your foot cut off. I don't know. It's crazy. Kill gays, kill women who commit adultery, kill this one, kill that one. I don't like it. It shouldn't be taught. She said, well, the difference is the Jews don't practice it. I don't care. Why is it in the book? Why is it in the book? So if you're going to say, well, you have to expunge it from the Quran, you have to expunge it from the Old Testament. Now, that already is going to be a stone wall. Now you have trouble already. Now you know it's not going to happen. See, this is the problem. We're trapped whichever way we turn. No matter what you do in this country, somebody will check what you have to say. It's impossible. That is why I bought this yesterday. Can you hear it, Robert? Is it going out on the air? In order to calm myself during breaks, I was in an old antique shop in Sausalito, California, and I saw a beautiful handmade wooden metronome. And as you listen to this ticking, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Savage's 180 minutes here on the Savage Nation. CBS can only do 60 minutes a week. I do 180 minutes a day. And the topics are pretty wide and far today. I mean, there are many topics. That's settling your nerves. If you're on the spectrum, it should help you a little bit. The thing is this. The cop thing is the biggest story right now in hour number three, because many police are attacking me, saying that the victim reached in the car was a threat. He deserved to die. The victim in Tulsa was a threat. Officer was right. Judging the female cop too prematurely. So, I mean, there's a man who's dead who committed no crime. And the truth to me is the man committed no crime and he's dead. What was he doing? His car broke down. They killed him. So someone made a mistake. See, you're not looking at the whole picture. The whole picture is they killed an innocent man. Well, he reached in the car. Maybe he thought one of them said, actually, he had just been tased. Did you ever think maybe the tase made him reach it? I don't understand how you could say that he deserved to die. I don't get it. It could be you on the side of a road. I'm sorry, there's a little trigger happiness going on now in the cop world. Forget the race. Put the race aside for the minute. She panicked. She freaked out. She was not trained properly, and she killed this guy. Now, forget the racial part. She killed an innocent man. Not trained properly. That's what I see. We'll come back to more of the biggest stories. I mean, it's a dead man, and that's important, but the terrorism is a bigger story, and how the media is covering up its roots to Islam, the direct threat to all of us from unbridled immigration, as explained in my bestseller, Scorched Earth.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Donald Trump is with us on the Savage Nation, Line 10. Donald Trump, you're the only man who can save us from this insanity. We need you, Donald. You've got to become president.
There is no question about it. It's horrible. What's going on is horrible. And Hillary Clinton was there. I mean, she was there. Now she's saying what she's going to do. What can she do? She was there and led to the weakness of our country. And it's disgraceful that she now talks about what she can do. She can do nothing.
Between 09 and 13, while Hillary Clinton served as Secretary of State, Mr. Trump, the U.S. permanently resettled 31,000 Somali migrants. As you know, a Somali Muslim stabbed 8 people over the weekend. He was only stopped by a hero off-duty cop. As Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton was in charge of screening visas for his admissions. During Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, the U.S. resettled 680,000 migrants from Muslim nations with virtually no vetting. Donald, look, this is no longer just rhetoric for a presidential campaign. We need someone like you to save us from this insanity, or we're all finished. What is it that you want to tell us that you think needs to be done when you become president?
Well, there's many things. So one thing, we'll start by not letting people come into our country. I don't know if you saw over 800 people that mistakenly were just let into our country. And so we'll start with that. I mean, what's better to start with than that? She wants 550 people more, Michael, to come into the country, 550% more. To come in over and above Obama's thousands and thousands of people. So what I'm telling you is that she's a disaster. She's been a disaster from this standpoint and from a lot of other standpoints, including trade, obviously. But it has been a very bad situation for the United States. And you know what? It's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. It is going to get worse because of the stupidity that we're hearing coming out of people who say we need to build bridges, not walls. Wrong. You can't build a bridge to terror. You need to build a wall between you and terror. Donald, look, you said things over the weekend that I agree with 100%. I don't know if you want to get into it right now, but you said something that makes common sense to any policeman, any detective. We need to use profiling to stop them before they do their acts. What is wrong with that? Tell me what's wrong with that.
We have to do profiling, and if we don't do profiling, we're just politically correct, foolish people. Israel does profiling. Not that they want to. There's nothing nice about it, but, you know, they want you to look at a woman who's in a wheelchair that's 88 years old and is barely making it and let's say comes out of Sweden. She's supposed to be treated the same way as a guy that looks just like the guy that just got captured, who's central casting for profiling. And we
Amen.
Have no choice about this. We have no choice about this. We have to start profiling. We're looking at people and everybody's supposed to be treated equally. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's radical Islamic terrorism.
Donald, you know that this guy who was just captured for setting off the bombs in New York sued the police department for claiming persecution for being a Muslim. Did you see that story?
I did.
So, Donald, let's be clear here, and I don't want to drag you into something that's controversial. Where did he learn to sue police who were onto him before he committed an act of terror? He learned it from groups like the ACLU, Donald. There are subversive organizations in this country, I'll say it, you don't have to agree with me, who are aiding and abetting these terrorists, Donald. You have a big job ahead of you when you become president. That's all I can say. I mean, it's everywhere. These groups don't stop. They're insane.
Well, did you notice, Michael, where it said that he wasn't on any list, he wasn't on anything, he wasn't being looked at? It's possible that that was so because he was a litigious person and they didn't want to get involved with him. And he wasn't on any lists, but he was very litigious, and he did sue.
He learned that a good method of preventing the police from getting on to you, even though you're plotting to kill or bomb, is to sue in advance and claim persecution for being a Muslim, so they'll leave you alone. That's great. But I wonder where he learned how to use our laws to destroy us and kill. I guess he learned it because he learned about the Trojan horse a long time ago. Look, Donald, I don't want you to say anything that any of the rats in the media can use against you. They're the most vicious people I have ever seen. But in addition to being vicious, I have never seen attacks against the candidate of the type I am seeing against you. But you know, want to hear the good news? The American people hate the people in the media. Their ratings are the lowest in history because they know they're liars, Donald. So all we can say is don't let them intimidate you. Not that I think you would be intimidated by the likes of those people. But they are trying to smear you simply for stating the obvious and the truth.
Well, thank you, Michael, for that. And I'll tell you, they are horrible, horrible people, many of them. They're liars, and they're horrible people. The media is among the dishonest, most dishonest group of people I've ever met. And I don't mean all of them, but I mean a lot of them. And it's unbelievable what they do, how they can take things and that are perfect and just twist them around like they took the word bomb out of Hillary's words yesterday.
Yes, she said the word bomb for criticizing you for instinctively knowing it was a bomb. They had the nerve to attack you when she said the same thing and they edited it out of her speech. Unbelievable. Okay, let's go to the debate if you got another 2 minutes for us in the Savage Nation. Mr. Trump, how in the world can you have a debate when you have these liberal moderators? How is that going to work?
Well, the debate is rigged from that standpoint. They're gaming the system. They're making it so that Lester Holt is petrified to ask me a question that's a fair question. And I like Lester Holt. He's a good man. And so is Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer treated me very, very tough, but very fair. And I won that debate. I guess you could call it a debate, the forum. It was essentially a debate. But everybody said I won. The polls all said I won. And, you know, they did tests and I won. But Matt Lauer was so badly treated afterwards that you know, what they're doing is called gaming the ref or gaming the system. Lester Holt is a good man, but Lester Holt is going to be afraid to ask me a fair question.
So how are you going to handle these biased questions like when did you stop beating your wife? They're going to do a Megyn Kelly on you. You know that in advance. I'm sure you know that. You've got an able team of people there with Steve and all the other people. So they must be working through this. But how are you going to handle such biased questions, Mr. Trump?
We'll just have to handle it as it comes. But I think people know what's coming, and it's a disgrace. And I know the system is gamed. I know the ref is gamed. And I'm not sure I blame Lester Holt. We haven't even started yet. But they're putting such pressure on him by what they did to Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer
yes.
did a good job. Frankly, I thought he was tougher on me than he was on her. In fact, I left. I said he was tougher on me than he was on her, but it was at least fair. They are going after Lester Holt and everybody else. And I'll tell you what, at least people know it. That's the way we win, because at least people know it.
Yeah, but it's your voters who know it, but the blind, deaf, and dumb progressives didn't even know what they did to Matt Lauer for trying to be a fair and honest, objective moderator. They destroyed Matt Lauer after years of liberal service. They destroyed him for simply being fair to you. I don't know how you're going to have... You're going to do it, but I know you're going to be able to do it. She's down in the polls, by the way. You're way up in the polls. You're surging. She's collapsing. It looks to me like you can easily win this race. The trick is, what are we going to do with the voting itself, Mr. Trump, the counting, the electronic voting? Big problems ahead of us.
I'm very concerned about that. I'm very concerned about the voting booth and what happens, because you've been reading the stories about what's going to happen with the voting, the day of the voting. And even before the voting, when people send in their ballots. And one other thing, you know, we talked about the word bomb being taken about. What about the husband with the word frequently when he made a mistake and he talked about her health and he had the word frequently in there and they edited out that she was frequently and then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. They took it out. They edited out of his words. And it's so sad to see what's happening here. But you know what? If we win, it will be a great tribute to honesty, that I can tell you.
Mr. Trump, we're all rooting for you. You've got millions upon millions upon millions of people who are never heard from. They don't answer polls. They're going to go and vote for you. I believe you're going to win by a wide margin. The trick is the debates and, of course, the counting of the votes. All I can say to you is we're all behind you, and we want to see you at the White House.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm right now in Florida. We have like 25, 30,000 people that tried to come here. They can't get in because we have 8,000 or 9,000 seats. But I will. They never report the crowds, you know. Yeah, they never report them. They always talk about Donald Trump's making a speech today. They don't say thousands of people, but we have thousands and thousands. I'm looking at them right now. It's incredible what's going on at the arena. So I just want. I did this call because you've been my friend. You've been so honest and straight and fair, and I appreciate it, and I always will.
Savage.
You've been my friend. You've been fair. You've been straight. You've been honest. That should put a chill. A chill through the bowels of all of the domestic enemies who are listening to this show to try and catch me in a mistake. All of you should be on notice that if Donald Trump wins, and if he should invite me to the inauguration, which I'm sure he will, and if he says to me, Michael, what would you like to do in this administration? Would you leave radio to do anything? I'd have to think long and hard, but I'll tell you the one thing I would want to do. It wouldn't be to run the NIH or the CDC. There are other people who can do a better job than I can on straightening out this country's epidemiology and health. The one thing I would want to do would be to help him with the subversive organizations in the United States of America who need to be exposed, their leadership called before Congress, and their funding traced to all sources. Because we need to examine all of these subversive organizations and break them up like the old festering monopolies they are and break up these leftist subversive organizations in order to save America. Otherwise, we will never, ever be able to save the nation. I point out the names of these groups in a chapter in Scorched Earth. The number one enemy, in my opinion, the ACLU, it must be broken up. They have more power than most governments. Now, if I say that the way to do it is to start with a HUAC, House Un-American Activities Committee investigation, I know what's going to happen. The left is going to say you're violating our civil rights. They'll say you do not have probable cause to bring people in to investigate them. Well, they may be right. They may be right, just the same as I said, preventatively detain those on terror watch lists. You might be right at that as well. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I could give a damn about your Fourth Amendment in case of terrorism, because I don't want a bomb going off in my house. I don't want to be stabbed in a mall anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all the niceties of these liberal lawyers and all their laws. They're all sick, these people. I know who they are. I know what these leftist lawyers are all about. They're nuts. Every last one of them is nuts. They would defend to the death someone who killed their own mother. That's how crazy they are in the ACLU. Now, I'm going to say this to you. How can a society that is open, like ours, that is democratic like ours, survive when enemies of freedom, enemies of democracy, are destroying society by using the very freedoms that we have in place because of the Constitution. Well, what would you do? How would you stop them? What would you do to round up the killers amongst us, the rabid mad dogs, those with rabies, who the FBI says is on their watch list? This is the conundrum we are facing. This is probably the most important question of our time. How can civil liberties be protected, and should civil liberties be put above survival? Because with all due respect to Benjamin Franklin, who said that liberty must be placed higher than security, he didn't know about Muslims at that time. During Ben Franklin's time, the biggest threat was a lightning to his key on his kite. Well, maybe the British. No, my friends, because without security, without survival, what good is civil liberties? Did you hear what I just said? What good are all the niceties of your civil liberties if you're dead? Okay, it's that simple. So, drastic times call for drastic actions. Preventative detention of those on watch lists, number one. Number two, a new UAC to investigate and expose all of the subversive organizations in the country. Soros and his Open Society Foundation. Advancement Project. Alliance for Justice. America Coming Together. American Bridge 21st Century. ACLU. American Family Voices. They're all in scorched earth. If you're a patriot and you want to make a difference and you want to expose these anti-American organizations who are largely nameless and faceless, please get a copy of Scorched Earth and share it with your sewing circle. Now let's go to the callers. Daniel on WABC line 7. Go ahead, please.
When Donald Trump said you were a friend, honest, and fair, it was the best thing I ever heard in my life. I'm Donald Trump's age. You are an inspiration, Michael. You are the best thing I have heard since Donald Trump announced his running for presidency. And you speak to all the good Americans. Michael, I can't say enough about you. It's all been said. You are truth. You are a pure-hearted, loving person. And when I hear you speak, it's like a jolt of sunshine in my spirit, because to me, Donald, I mean, to me, Michael, you are the true spirit of America. And keep on speaking. I believe in you. And I will stand by you and Donald Trump and all the good American people.
All we can say is thanks for your support. There's nothing else we can say to a caller like this. If you're on the line, I will send you a copy of Restoring the Country After Obama, Scorched Earth. That's all. It's an important book. I believe in it. I believe it's more important now than it was last week. How do you like that? That's the strange irony of it, you know. This book, Scorched Earth, which is in every bookstore in America right now in the front of the store, is more important after the Muslim chicken bomber, is more important after the Minneapolis Muslim stabber than it was when it was published, and already people are walking away from it. Already, they forgot already that there are books that try to warn them, books that were like written by like Paul Revere that are sitting right in front of their eye. Instead, what are they buying? Some stupid baloney about World War II written by Bill O'Reilly. It's unbelievable to me how dumb people are. Why are they reveling in the wonders and the greatness of World War II when we are fighting a battle for our survival right now? Answer, because of the power of television. Back in a minute.
I did this call because you've been my friend. You've been so honest and straight and fair, and I appreciate it, and I always will.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
In the eyes of innocent men and women and children who, through no fault of their own, have had to flee everything that they know, everything that they love. We have to have the empathy to see ourselves. We have to imagine what it would be like for our family, for our children, if the unspeakable happened to us.
Well, why don't you take some into your own house? Hold it, stop. Why don't you take a few Syrian Muslims into the White House? You got plenty of room in there. There's a couple of extra bedrooms. Give them the Lincoln bedroom. Put a few Muslim men from Afghanistan in the Lincoln bedroom. They're all good. And it's exceedingly rare that any of them would be a terrorist. You have nothing to fear. Give them a prayer rug. They could cook a lamb on the rug. It doesn't matter. They could use charcoal right on the floor of the White House. That's a cultural thing. No, my friends, the United States must indefinitely suspend immigration of any kind from any country classified by the State Department as terrorist safe havens. End of story. At the same time, we are witnessing this insanity from Obama, from de Blasio, from the weird mayor of London, from the weird mayor of Paris, who are calling for more immigration in response to U.S. terror attacks, common sense would indicate the opposite is what must be done. Indefinitely suspend immigration of any kind from any country classified by the State Department as terrorist safe havens. It's all in my brain, my book, and your hands. Scorched earth. Stop them now while you still can.